Welcome to Porch Stories on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Sarah Hegland. Every month we invite residents of Central Iowa for a potluck and neighborly conversational storytelling. As we sit around the table and tell each other stories of our lives, we pass around the recording microphone so we can share them with you on the radio. So sit back, enjoy something to drink, and imagine you have joined us. The theme of this evening's show is Naked People Stories, and we assure you that it is rated PG. Listen to the laughter and the joy of conversational storytelling. We are your neighbors.
I do, but it's not as good as that.
Oh, come now.
This is very short. It's just me and my sister. Well, two little stories. They're both slightly, so I don't know if they will be abuse in this situation, but when we were in high school, when I was in high school, this was in the late 70s, mid to late 70s, we used to go out to a place near Saskatoon called Cranberry Flats. And what Cranberry Flats was sand dunes. It was just like a geographical anomaly. And we used to cross country run there. I won the city championship there. Mm-hmm. So, you know. But it was all sand dunes, so you had to drive in and then walk about half a mile to get to the sand dunes, and that was the bank of the South Saskatchewan River. And then in the middle, there was this giant sandbar. So we would go out, a bunch of us from high school that were friends, guys and girls, and we would go out and nude sunbathe out there. And there was nothing sexual about it. It was just us going out and chilling out. Yeah, friends, total friends, yeah. But the best thing I ever saw out there was when we were all running around naked, having fun, you know, I don't know, we were playing volleyball, I don't know what it was. These two older men, they probably were in their 30s, maybe early 40s. That was old to us.
Yeah.
They come by, floating down the South Saskatchewan in this tiny dinghy. It's a round thing. And they had great big stomachs. And they were opposite to each other. One was facing one way, one was facing the other. They were smoking cigars and they had binoculars. And they go floating by and they're like looking at us. But the sad part was they didn't need the binoculars because they weren't really that far away. But, oh, they were naked. It was, they were naked. So. I didn't want to look. All I could see was this two mounds of stomach. It was like, ooh. But so I have that memory. And then my second memory is a little more recent. It was, I guess, in the early 80s when I was in university. And my sister and I used to go canoeing on the Saskatchewan, you know, down in Saskatoon. The river runs right through the city. And so we used to go canoeing together. And I have many lovely memories with her. She's an unbelievable singer. And we used to paddle, and she would, you know, sing like Always on My Mind, or and she has this really deep, raspy voice. She's a blues singer. And I have really wonderful memories. And so we had to portage, you know, pick up the canoe and carry it from one spot to another to get back into the river. And we had to go under a bridge on this path. And under the bridge, like a troll, was this guy with his pants down, doing everything possible to make us see him. And so my sister, having a similar sense of humor to me, we put down the canoe, we started pointing at him and laughing, just laughing so hard. And we just couldn't stop. It was hilarious. And he just zipped up and took off. Excuse me. It wasn't fun. He didn't get the desired reaction. I'm not sure what reaction it was he wanted. But we, you know, and so then we picked up our canoe and carried on our way. but that's how the Bunka sisters react to that sort of thing.
This is a naked grandma story.
Oh, oh God.
It was awful. So when I was a teenager, I was maybe 15 or something like that. And I had this cousin, Keitha, who lived in Sioux City, which was quite a ways away from where I lived. So we didn't see each other very often. And she was a year or two older than me, so we got along really well when we saw one another. Well, she had come, her family had come to visit, and they were staying, let's see, I think maybe she was, anyway, she was staying at Grandma's house. And we were going to go to the movie that night, and then we were going to go to Grandma and Grandpa's, and I was going to stay there with her. Although Grandma and Grandpa didn't live very, just a few blocks from where I live, but I was going to be staying there with Keitha. So we went to the movie, which was Bye Bye Birdie. So that dates, you know, dates it all. And we were walking back to my house first to get my jammies and stuff, in the dark, walking up Pierce Street Hill, singing as loud as we could, Bye Bye Birdie. Just singing and having so much fun. And then we decided, well, if Grandma's house was a little scary, maybe we'd stay at my house. So, okay, we'd do that. So we turned around and we went to Grandma's house, with the intent of telling Grandma that Keitha was going to be staying over my house instead of at her house. And they weren't downstairs, so they must have been, I don't think I'd ever been upstairs in Grandma and Grandpa's house. And this was summer. It was hot. They had no air conditioning. So we just, you know, opened the, you know, and went up the stairs, and Grandma's bed was right at the top of the stairs. And I turned, and there was Grandma's butt. Grandma was a big lady. She was a really big lady, and this is the biggest butt I ever saw. And I don't remember, Grandma, we're going to stay in my house. Okay. And the funny part of it is, Keith and I, we didn't say a thing to one another. It was like, we never did. It didn't happen.
I mean, will we be able to put it on the air?
Yeah.
Naked Moose Day?
We will have Naked Moose Day.
Okay. I haven't seen one of those in many years. My name's Joe, but I'm looking forward to it, yes. This is a story about one of my very first art fair. And I was teaching at Des Moines Area Community College. And I was all the way to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Mm-hmm. And I thought, me and my band, you know. So I took a young woman with me, and we got up there, we got set up. It's the State Street Art Fair. I mean, there must be 2,000 or 3,000 artists. And it's big. And so we set up. And we're there first day and then the second day. And my booth was kind of like a zigzag. You know, it wasn't just in a 10-foot square like they make us do now. So I'm up there working my booth, you know. and people are talking, and I'm on one side of the booth, and the people are on the other, and they're just going, oh, and, you know, doing all these sounds, you know. Well, I just keep trying to sell a painting on the other side, and just doing my little sales pitch, you know. And finally, they kept pointing to me to go over there. So I go over there, I go around the corner, and I see a man with a scarf on.
It was blue?
It was blue, right? Oh, dear Lord. That's the other story. But anyway, and he's staring at my paintings. And he's just staring at them. But he doesn't have any clothes on. But I didn't get that right away. So I'm talking to him about, what does he think about my design? Well, I was looking at his scarf. I was looking at his necktie. And I hadn't looked down. You know, you just don't normally have a naked man in your booth at an art show. Yeah. So anyway, I'm talking to him about composition and color, and because he's just staring at these paintings. So I thought, well, he's really interested in my artwork, right? Obviously, he was probably really stoned, but I didn't get that. Yeah. Anyway, my friend and the little student that went with me, she came and she screamed, you know, she couldn't take it. And then we walked around, we went around the other side, and here was another man with a rattlesnake wrapped around his waist. And she looked at me and she said, I'm going home. In Ann Arbor, Michigan. And she was younger than me. I thought she could take this. She said, no, we are out of here, she said. Yeah. And I thought they were all going to be like this. That's why I'm an artist.
So about, I think it was about 25 years ago, and my sister-in-law called me up. And she said, Sue, she said, Todd wants to go on Ride Right, and you're the only person I can think of is crazy enough to go on with me, because I want to be able to go with him so he can go. And I said, Sue, I can't do that. You know, I'd ride my bike, and if I rode 10 miles, I thought I was dying. And But I'll think about it. So she said, okay, you think about it, and you call me up and let me know. So I hung up. And turned to my husband, I said, that was my sister-in-law's name was Sue also. I said, that was Sue. She's going on Ride Right. She wanted me to go with her. And he says, you can't do that. I said, I can too. And I called her back up and I said, I'm going. Anyway, so we were, and we had the greatest time. We went with two 16-year-old boys and a 15-year-old boy and Sue and I. And it was just a kick. It was just so much fun. Anyway, we had heard about this man that rides on Ride Right. I don't know, he probably still doesn't, but... And we called him Loincloth Man because he rode with a helmet, a loincloth, and shoes. And that was all he wore. Yes. And anyway, so Ride Right was going through, I think this was maybe toward the middle of the week or something. Like, yeah, it must have been. And they were going through Union and then Witten early in the morning. And whichever one we came to first, we stopped there. And Sue was going to have pancakes. And I said, well, I really don't. I'm saving myself for a cinnamon roll. And I couldn't see any sun. I said, I'll just wait here for you while you eat your pancakes, and then the next town I'll see if I can find a cinnamon roll. So I was just kind of leaning on this wall waiting for her to finish her pancakes, and she comes running up to me. She said, Sue, I saw Loincloth Man over there, and he's getting ready to go on his get on his bicycle. And so in my haste to see this man get on his bicycle, I left my wallet on the wall. I did. I left my wallet on the wall. And I didn't realize it until we got to the next town and I went to buy a cinnamon roll that I didn't have any money because I didn't have my wallet. I had hundreds of dollars with it because I was on Ride Right. So I ran into this cop on a corner directing traffic and told him, and he called back there. And pretty soon Sagwagon came with my wallet, with all my money and everything. Anyway, so then when I moved to Ames, I didn't think I would ever go on Ride Bride again. I went on two with Sue and the boys. But friend talked me into going again. So there were a group of us, my minister and his son, were also going. They weren't with us, but they were kind of with us. And then a bunch of women. And I had told them my lung clock man story. So it was one of those times on Ride Bride, you don't ride together. You have to do your own ride. Mm-hmm. You might be a couple of you that tend to ride the same pace and stuff like that. But there was this one day when we all happened to be in the same place at the same time. Including loincloth man. Somebody said, there's a loincloth man over there. Sue, go over there and tell him your story. I said, I can't do that. And my minister said, Sue, I thought you'd do anything. I said, well, okay. So I go over there and ask him if he would... I'm trying to think if I told him my story. I asked if I could have a... I asked if I could have my picture taken with him, and he said, well, fine. Okay, so he's standing next to me with his arm around me, side by side, and he said, now, do you want this to be a clean picture or a dirty picture? And I said, well, clean picture, that's my minister's son that's taken it. He said, well, okay, mostly clean. And right before he snapped the picture, the guy swings his knee over in front of me, showing his naked side. I mean, it looked for all the world like, and I had this stupid grin on my face. A loincloth man, if you're out there, thanks for a good time.
In 1985, we moved to the East Bay of California in Hayward. And it was a town of about 100,000 people. And we lived up in the mountains, beautiful area. And it was always calm and quiet up there. But every once in a while, we'd have to come down to Mission Street, which was the main street, and either, you know, to go to church or the grocery store, what have you. Well, one Saturday morning, I had to go down Mission to get some dog food. And the veterinarian was probably, I would say, 5 miles away. So I drove down Mission on the very end, and this was around noon. And so I'm coming back, and this is it's a four-lane street. It isn't a highway. It's just a street. And there's traffic. I mean, it's California. And all of a sudden, the traffic slows down. And I thought, okay, you know, there's something going on up front there. And so then, all of a sudden, I'm noticing probably a half a block up, there is a woman that got out of her car. And apparently, she had hit the car in front of her. And the car in back of her hit her. So here she was, you know, the sandwich, the meat in the sandwich. And she was just not a happy lady. And all of a sudden she pulls off her cardigan and she flings it into the air. And all this while I'm in the lane on the left of her and I'm driving very slowly because all the traffic is driving very slowly. And so we're proceeding on and all of a sudden she is unbuttoning her blouse and ripping off her blouse. Now this is, I mean, traffic all over the place, people all over the place. And so I'm thinking, holy cow. And so, you know, I'm a newbie over here in this foreign country. And so then the next thing she did was she took off her skirt and she threw it to the wind and then she removes her bra and then she, throwing it to the wind, and then she lies down on the front of the car, like a hood ornament, on the car in front of me, which it was a low-riding white Corvette kind of thing, you know. And here she is lying on this car. And so thankfully, the traffic slowed this, no, the lane that I was in
slowed down.
And then the one to my right, my left, sped up a little bit, so I was able to get into there. I just got out of there. I have no clue what happened, but all I know was there she was, a hood ornament on the car. It's only in California, you know, you just, yeah.
So when I got this job as a ranger that I told you about, and we also sometimes had to do foot patrol, and this was the second, I did this as a summer job when I was in college, and the second summer I was in Central Park working, and I was working, and I went on lunch break, and I left Central Park and I was walking across Grand Army Plaza, which is one corner of Central Park, kind of the southern corner where the, what's that famous hotel?
Waldorf Astoria.
The Plaza, yeah, it's where the Plaza is. Mm-hmm. It's on the Grand Army Plaza. And I was crossing Grand Army Plaza and I was on the sidewalk and walking a little bit out of the park. And it was lunchtime, so there were all these people rushing around, you know. And, you know, that's a very wealthy part of the city, Upper East Side, and so everybody's dressed very beautifully. And I'm walking along, and this, and you know how sometimes you're thinking, you know, you're kind of thinking about something, and you find yourself looking at something, and you don't really know why you're looking at it, you're just looking at it because you're really listening to what's in your head. That's kind of what was going on. And my eyes fell on a man who, a very, very well-dressed businessman, beautiful haircut, I mean, just impeccably dressed, very, you know, some people really can look incredible on the Upper East Side. I mean, there's all kinds of money there that I wouldn't even know about. And he was one of those people, just beautifully, stylishly dressed. And my eye fell on him, and I didn't really think about why I was looking at him until he was very, very close to me and just passing me. And all of a sudden, my brain came into focus, and I realized that this man had this beautiful jacket, and it was open, and he had this beautiful white priceless shirt on, and the front of the shirt was open, and he was wearing a black lacy bra.
He was well dressed.
He was very well dressed. So that's all I can say. He walked past me, and it was like, you know, it registered right as he was passing me.
The brain saw it.
So it did give me something to think about for the rest of the day. I don't know what to say.
Thank you for joining us around the table for Porch Stories, where we have just heard stories from your neighbors, Deborah Bunka, Sue Prince, Kyle Rennell, Joe Myers-Walker, and Ursula Rudenberg. The music you heard today was Love Makes the World Go Round by Billy May, and our theme music is Home Sweet Home by the Bray Brothers. Porch Stories is a production of KHOI Radio and is broadcast Wednesday evenings at 9:30 p.m. These stories come from regular events held every month, and everyone is welcome to attend and share your stories. The next event will be held Friday, September 20th. Porch Stories is made possible by a generous grant from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau. Hey, KHOI is building community through communication. If you would like to tell a story, email khoiradio@gmail.com or phone 515-292-2878. See you next week.